join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Moyne County Board of Supervisors, February 23rd, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? Agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Just want to remind everybody that is in the Danville School District, the special election is March the 2nd. Polling hours are 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And the public test for the equipment will be tomorrow morning here in this room at 9 a.m. And I feel like Brian now talking about all these House files that they keep pushing through because they have an election one that just amazes me. But some of the stuff they're trying to do, because now they want to cut down our absentee early voting from 29 days down to 18 days.
Where do they come up with, I mean, like maybe 30 or maybe 20 or something? Where do they come up with 29?
Probably where they can't see daylight.
The what?
Probably where they can't see daylight.
Okay.
So anyway, that's our feelings right now. Because by moving it to 18 days, 10 days before the election, we can no longer mail out ballots. So that only gives you 1 week to mail out ballots. You can request a ballot 70 days before the election, but we can't mail them out according to their rules that they want to pass 18 days before the election. So they got all kinds of stuff in there that...
I've read a lot of that. And they're trying to hold you accountable for it. They can...
Oh, yeah. They want to be able to fine us $10,000 and basically just ban us from our office for 2 years.
I was reading all that, and I thought, you know, these people up there don't have anything to do.
No, they don't know how elections are ran. I listened to their public hearings last night, and it was kind of amazing too. Most of the people that spoke were against it, and there was one person that spoke for it. That was because she was a poll watcher, and she heard somebody come in and say they got an absentee ballot, but they were there to vote. Well, you don't know the situation. There's a lot of people that request absentee ballots, and then they decide they want to vote at the poll, so they either take it with them, or the poll workers have to call us and verify, or that person has to vote provisional. So there's options there, but some people just have their mind made up, and it's just, we're just a little befuddled by what they're trying to do. So that's my excitement.
Calvin Gerst, IT.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Just keep busy like always, nothing new to report.
Thanks, Calvin. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Well, having spent just a minute amount of time in Terry's office, I'm not shocked at what she's saying. And to try to condense the cluster that I saw into a smaller window is just insane. I would say they should each sit in an office for 10 hours during that election, presidential election, and they'd have a different opinion of what's going on. It amazes you, doesn't it, Terry?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
What they come up with. We're into the sloppy phase now on gravel roads. We had ice. That didn't last very long. By yesterday afternoon, it was nothing but slush and a mess. But we have a lot of snow to melt. So unfortunately, I warned you guys going into this, and we're there. I mean, we're going to lose a lot of it this week, but it's going to be some miserable driving until we start getting some of the moisture away from the roads and stuff like that. So there's not a lot to be done about it. People, we can't do much rock hauling right at the moment because we tear up a road worse than we would be just trying to run a fully loaded truck into them. So we'll just live with it, do what we can. I think in general, most of our ice problems have left us now. I think it kind of slushed up yesterday afternoon, and it was like this morning, it was kind of refroze a little bit, but it was rough as all get out where the people had driven through it. So we'll just keep chasing and doing a little pothole patching, some stuff like that. So cars on the pavements. But get any calls, have them give us a call, and we'll take a look at whatever it is.
Our pass went on to you. It says, "Hello supervisors. I live south of Burlington in the Glenmark addition off Madison Avenue. I want to only send wonderful remarks about the plowed roads down here. After reading in the newspaper all the negative comments, please know that there are many of us who are very happy with the work the plow drivers are doing. I've lived in this area of town since 1996, and I've always felt that the county roads are, well, I won't go into that, but she says they're good. She says, I certainly don't know what the county guys are doing that's different from the city guys, but the county guys are rocking it. Exclamation point, three of them."
Her name's Carter. Triple X. We have some plans out there.
Please omit my name. I don't want my husband to know. Kudos. But yeah.
No, I appreciate that. And there are some people that have expressed their thank yous. I mean, you get both sides. It's always nice to hear something like that. And the guys do work long hours and do good work. But like I said last week, sometimes patience runs out. Sometimes a long winter will drive even the best person to being frustrated. So but we'll just keep on doing our job no matter what. That's what I'll say. So
thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
Sheriff Glenn Denning.
Good morning. We're catching up on a lot of training that's been put off over the last year due to COVID and things that can't be put off anymore. We have mandatory and required trainings that we have to do. So we've got a lot of our deputies doing those things and our command staff getting caught up. Other than that, nothing major to report.
Thank you. Jack, are you? Rodney, you turned sideways with your mask on. I didn't see you there. Made into the left. Rodney Gleisner, maintenance, excuse me.
Good morning. It was nice to finally get a weekend. So we've just been, as probably Brian and all these guys, we've just been spending a lot of time and hours removing snow. So I want to thank my guys for a lot of hard work and getting everything cleared off. And really appreciate that. Other than that, we just got a work session after the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Rodney. Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning. This is contracting time, so we're sending out invitations for the different, we got about 15 different agencies that we contract with, either with our SEAL contracts or with an MOU, and so March and April are the 2 months that we'll be focusing in on getting those contract meetings done, and then the contracts go on to the management team and then on to the governing board. So we have to get them done by June 30th, so we're in that time of year now. So that's my main focus since I'm working on contracts for the region.
Thank you, Ken. Doug Irvin, Correctional Center.
Good morning. Everything's going good, keeping busy as always. Currently we have 87 total inmates out there, 13 of which are out of county. Two of those are juveniles, so we're paying for 11. Good news is three of them are going to go to prison yet today and one to the Burlington Residential Facility.
Probably good news depending on your
depending on who you are. Right? For four people, probably not all that great.
Good to whom?
It's all in perspective.
How many did you say you were heading to the joint?
Three. And one to the Burlington Residential Facility. I would like to express some thanks to Rodney and his crew, Jack. We did redo two offices out the jail, put new flooring in, painted. They moved a lot of furniture and big old safe. So we got a sergeant's office and a transport office redone, which was much, much needed. So they did that in between the plowing, so that was greatly appreciated. Other than that, everything's going as normal.
Well, say again, did you tell Tom how many you were sending to the joint? I can remember. Trace, three. We had Spanish together. Thank you, Doug. This is Good morning. Janelle Abby Monquist, Warren County Treasurer. Kevin's hogging that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That space up there.
We're just keeping busy as usual, but nothing major new to report.
Thanks, Janelle. Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm going to save you for last. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. We have our bi-weekly Walk in the Park series this afternoon. Today's park is Big Hollow, so we kind of walk through the slop. And just remind folks that with this weather turning into something that's way more pleasurable to be out in, it is going to wreck the ice pretty bad. I was out on Big Hollow Lake yesterday with our engineering consultants. We were doing some lake sediment sampling, and there's a lot of ice. There's probably somewhere between 10 and 12 inches on part of the lake where we were, but between the time we got out there, probably 11, and got down to 3, that top snow had just turned to slush, and that's going to happen every day this week, and that's going to, you know, that'll penetrate down into the ice. We've been getting a lot of ice fishermen. I know over the weekend we had somebody drive from 2.5 hours away to come down. We've had folks from out of state coming down to come fish that lake, so just be very cognizant. We do also get a lot of questions about whether we allow machines like four-wheelers, side-by-sides, or snowmobiles out on the lake, and we do not. We don't allow those anywhere inside the park other than on the main roads as per the county ordinance. State lakes do, but we do not. That lake ice is too unpredictable. There's some springs under there. The water down by the dam is 40 feet deep. There's several spots where water flows in there. And we just, we don't want to be doing any ice rescues or fishing forwards out of the lake. So we keep in the policy. We don't allow UTVs inside that park at all. So just, you know, be careful out there. This is that time of year was, you know, it's a great time to get out and do some fishing, but there's going to be that turnover at some point. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. There's going to be that turnover point where that ice is not going to be safe to be on. So just, I encourage folks to be careful out there. That's all for today.
Thanks, Chris. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We obviously continue to be busy with COVID vaccines. Currently, our 7-day COVID positivity rate is 5% with 35 cases in the last 7 days. Our total year-to-date is 4,251. We have given 7,890 vaccines in our county. So it's 7,480 of those were county residents. We have completed, people have had first and second dose. It's 1,840 for our county. We are doing another clinic this Thursday at the auditorium, and that should really pretty much wrap up our wait list. We've gone through, so it was a moving target, so I'm not really sure exactly how many was on our wait list, but we're assuming it was pretty close to 5,000. So we are finishing clearing up that list. We had a clinic last Thursday. We've been giving about 1,000 shots a week, so made good progress with that. We are wrapping up tier one of phase 1B, and so we are have moved into child care workers. The schools are done, first responders, and we continue to encourage people that may be in that tier phase 1A, which would have been the healthcare providers, or anyone in tier one of phase 1B, such as first responders, police officers, child welfare, social workers, pre-K to 12, school staff, if they've not been vaccinated and want a vaccine, to contact us in the health department. They're always eligible to do that. But we are getting to the point where we are also opening it up for child care workers. We have Hy-Vee on Agency Street is now taking reservation or taking appointments for people to come in and for child care workers to get vaccinated at that Hy-Vee as well. So there's different options. If people have questions, they can always contact our health department. And like I said, we're hoping that as we continue, we have another 1,000 vaccines to give this week and hoping to do the same again next week.
So Hy-Vee, is that through the state?
Actually, yes. So it's the same program. We get the vaccine allocated through public health, and then we reallocate it to approved providers. Okay. And now that we're heading towards the end of our wait list, we'll be doing more of that, allocating it to different pharmacies that have asked to be vaccine providers.
I have a, actually, to clarify, there's a lady that wants to know, she heard that her dog, just like her daughter, She heard that her dog can get it, and she wants to know when her pet's going to be available for the vaccine. So do you want to...
So I would encourage her to contact her veterinarian, and they would probably have more information on that.
Okay. Hope you're watching, so...
The coronavirus has been... We've known about coronavirus in dogs for over a decade. And it does not jump from dogs to humans or humans to dogs. And your dog is vaccinated for coronavirus if it sees a vet.
Thank you, Robert. I hope you heard that. Bless your heart.
Is that it, Krista? Thank you very much. Anybody online?
I have one on here. It's Zach James, Land Use.
Zach James, Land Use.
Zach, your audio is not working. I think it might be hardware muted on his side.
Zach, we'll give you a chance to come in later if you want.
I could try to read his lips, you know what I mean?
I don't want to hear what he has to say that
bad. I got some sign language for him.
Can you hear me?
We can.
I heard that, Brian. I don't have a whole lot of things to update you guys on. We do have a subdivision that's out for review right now that I think we'll be wrapping up this week and try and get on the agenda for next week. And we've had a couple other inquiries. We're just waiting on some plats, a couple of zoning permit inquiries the last couple of weeks as well. We'll see where those go. And Jared and I continue to try and finalize the ordinance updates. We're going to be meeting today with one of our planning commission members to go over some comments they had. And I think at that point, I think we'll be pretty comfortable with where we're at and start looking at kind of an approval process for those updates and what that's going to be. So it's been a long time working on those, but I think it's starting to come to an end here, hopefully. I think that's all I've got for today.
Thanks, Zach. Did either of you gentlemen have any correspondence other than you timely entered yours?
I think we all three got a correspondence from Kerry Polker, but from Southeast Iowa Crime Commission, head of it. She'd been a deputy sheriff before. And she reached out to Marion County to get on the sheriff's patrol, you know, like what you've got here. And so we're going to have to talk about that. And it has to go, the supervisors have to approve it of each county that's in Southeast Iowa.
When did that come through? I don't think I saw that email.
I can tell you.
And well,
I think it was just Friday, maybe.
Because I didn't get it either.
You didn't get it either?
No.
Well, it says to Jim and four more. I'm just assuming anything. Jim, four more is you two, and then, anyway.
Who is it from?
Kerry Folkert. She's the executive director of the Southeast Iowa Crime Commission. Said, I wanted to touch base with you and let you know that I have reached out to Marion County Sheriff Sandholt regarding their reserve program, that I was accepted into their program. It's technically a volunteer position, but I wanted to ensure you were aware. For SIAC policy, Southeast Iowa Crime Commission policy, any outstanding employment has to be approved by the supervisors, and even though it isn't a job necessarily, I wanted transparency. So I went to Marion County because they are close geographically, but more so they are not members of the Southeast Iowa Crime Commission, so there will be no conflict of interest with my duties at Southeast Iowa Area Crime Commission. I will be getting sworn in during the March meeting unless you have any objections. Please let me know if you do. Thank you. So I don't have a problem with it.
you were more familiar with that.
And of course, you know, Gary and both these gentlemen, and I don't see a problem with it.
I personally think it's a positive thing, especially if she's outside of the area of the crime commission. Sheriff Sandholt has a great office there, and Carrie helps, and the crime commission helps a lot with policy and transports for Doug into jail. Training, she does a lot of training for us. So I think it's a positive thing. I would see no issue with it.
For what my opinions were, that sounds fine to me. If it's okay with you and Kevin and
Doug,
that sounds fine to me.
She's a great person, really is.
Yeah. Have a problem with that?
She's a great person, obviously. So I'm
good. Okay. Any other correspondence? Seeing none, we will proceed to discussion and vote. We have an appointment to the Des Moines County Board of Health, Board of Supervisors. I am interested in serving on the Des Moines County Board of Health, and I am asking the Board of Supervisors for appointment to the board. I am currently employed at Southeastern Community College as a pathway navigator, and I have been employed in this position since July of 2019. I worked as a part-time employee for Indian Hills Community College's outreach advisor with the Educational Opportunity Center from 2015 until 2019, following my retirement from Burlington Community High School in 2015. Currently, I do part-time work as a manager on duty at Burlington Community YMCA, and I've been at this since 2015 also. Does he have time to serve on the...
He's busy.
I currently serve on the Burlington Community School District Educational Board and on the Alcohol and Drug Dependency of Southeast Iowa, ADS. I also work with Pritchard Broadcasting as a radio analyst for the Southeastern Community College Blackhawk men's basketball team during the basketball season. Sincerely, Mac Turner. I knew Mac was busy, I don't know he's that busy.
I didn't either, but bless his heart.
I move to approve his appointment to the board.
I second.
That's great. Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane Campbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Please forward our thanks, Mr. Turner. Oh, those are often thankless positions. And we have a resignation from the Des Moines County Board of Health. The Board of Supervisors. When I started on the Board of Health, I worked in a position at the hospital that allowed me the freedom of meeting attendance. That position has since changed, and I am no longer to attend meetings as scheduled with the same flexibility. I have appreciated my time on the board, though I feel that the board is better suited for someone who can put more adequate time in that role. Please accept my resignation and thanks for the opportunity for these last couple of years. Anna Short.
I move that we accept Anna Short's resignation.
Second.
Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. And thank Anna for us as well, Christy.
I will.
We have a 2080 agreement between the Des Moines County Board of Health and the Regional Utility Service Systems, RUS, to provide environmental health services coverage for tanning.
See, I didn't quite understand this. So, because we've got two different ones here, and I just don't know where's the 69 grand coming from?
That covers both of them. Right, Preston, that's the tanning and the environmental. So the one comp, but the way it, well, Chris, you can explain it. The way it's wrote up, we have to have two separate 2080 agreements.
We do. So we have retirement of our environmental health services at Public Health. And so the thought was to go ahead and look at subcontracting that. Russ, Regional Utility Service, has always been our backup for the last couple of years, so if our environmental health person was off, they would cover the services for our county. And so when the retirement happened, we were looking at making that full-time contracted, because that way they always have an office, they always have a backup service inside the office, as well as they take that 24-hour, 7-on-call. So We looked at doing a 28E agreement, and when we did the agreement, we have to send that to the state because we get our grants through the state and they look at those contracts. So 2 years ago, they took tanning out of one of the contracted services from the state. And so at that point in time, the Board of Supervisors put in a tanning ordinance so we could do tanning inspections for our county to make sure that tanning locations were maintaining good standards for the community, even though that the state was no longer regulating tanning. So it had to be split up. I'm sorry.
Did this position start because of tanning bids?
No, it's always been tanning, but we were contracted through the state to do pools, tattoo, tanning. But when they stopped contracting us through the state, they no longer wanted tanning identified in their contract. So when you look at the contract, tanning actually says zero.
Right.
We just had to split that piece out. So it's $69,840, and then to do environmental health services, but that says pools, tattoos. And then the other one is $0 contract,
right?
Because you have to split that off.
But so you've always had the you guys were already paying out the 70 grand, but now you're just adding tattooing to this.
So we are no longer employing an environmental health services person. Actually, this is going to be a cost savings for the county because that person had a salary plus
benefits.
You know, fringe benefits. So it comes out to about a $20,000 a year savings not to employ that employee directly.
Okay.
Also, we're going to have four people that can actually go out and have got the license to the state, you know, for the environmental services to the sewer systems. And out of them four people, three of them can inspect swimming pools, your tanning, and your tattoo department.
So, the state didn't require tanning a year or two ago, and the board voted to adopt a tanning ordinance so that will have to be enforced. So that was just, they had to break that out. It couldn't be on the same 28E as the state mandated services. Them.
Correct.
I know another way to fix that problem. You just let them go down, man. They're crappy business. Nobody's going to keep going back to that mess, man. Let them go down.
We've had that discussion. Anyway, but that's the reason the 28, there's two 28Es.
Okay.
So the first 28E is to provide environmental health services coverage for tanning. Is there any outcry for me to read this? I thought not. So if it's okay with everybody, we'll waive the reading of both of these 28Es. So, Jim, you probably out of conflict of interest.
I've got a conflict of interest. I'm on both boards, so I'm going to abstain from the vote.
I'll make a motion that we adopt. I'll make a motion to adopt both of them.
I've got them on here separately.
Okay, well, I make a motion to adopt the first one for the environmental health services coverage for tanning, the first 28E.
I second.
Terry.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Abstain.
I need to stamp that approved. These are both. And I'll make a motion to approve the second 28E agreement to provide between 28E agreement between the Des Moines County Board of Health and Rush to provide higher environmental health services coverage.
I second.
Terry.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Abstain.
We have the 2019 amended homestead and military exemptions. Board of Supervisors, a list of additional and corrected claims for 2019 military and homestead exemptions in accordance with the Code of Iowa Chapter 426A.2 is attached to this letter. The Board of Supervisors may, by a single resolution, allow or disallow the exemptions as recommended I hereby request that the military and homestead tax credits be approved as amended. The amended homestead value is an increase of $24,250, or $768.28. The amended military is an increase of $1,852, or $12.82.
I move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have two personnel actions for the sheriff's office. We have Brandon McClellan, a new hire starting at the 1 year step. He will also start his vacation at the 12-day step. The new rate is $51,833.06, effective March 8th, 2021. And we have a Brent Vogelsang, a discharge with an unpaid day of pay from October 24th, 20. This is due to a misunderstanding with contractual wording on casual time probationary.
Move to approve both.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
You know, I just have to say this. I never like to read termination, but at the same time, when I do read termination, it lets me know that there are rules that people have to follow. And that's good to know that we make people, we hold people accountable.
We have reports. We have the clerk of courts report of fees collected in January 2021. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of February 16th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items.
I have none.
Yes, sir. Committee reports.
I didn't have any.
I found out that I fit in really good with early childhood development, so.
I don't know how to take that.
There's that. That's what I said to them. But anyways, I took it.
And I had no committees. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board due to the limited seating, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, that's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Anybody in attendance have any comments?
I did forget to mention that the bridge is still ongoing. They're making good headway. They got all of the beams set last week. So I guess for the media's purpose, the Highway 99 bridge, in case they weren't sure which one I was talking about. So there'll be a pretty sizable bill coming along from this next go around of payments, which is great news, actually.
Yeah, that's
so.
Not as big as the one we thought we might get, because when we talked about it, the pop for a line of credit for the possible would be the bridge, the pouring the slab and the beams.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to get the slab poured this month.
No, it'll take some time there. So, but they have already started working up on the deck to work towards the forming, which will take quite some time. So,
yeah. They're doing it. I was down there when they brought those big beams in. Those are the those are big concrete beams.
Yes, large.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that to fall on your toe.
No, no, you would not.
Understand how he drove by you when you were sitting down there at Case and didn't see you.
Who?
Brian.
Oh, I wasn't. I got there after he got there.
Yeah, I had already left.
He'd already left or was on his way.
I had a meeting.
I came in there sat there and watched a little bit.
Yeah.
I watched the guy set a steel truss on his foot twice once.
Ooh, I would think you learned the first time.
I thought you would. That's what I thought. I asked him about that.
Mr. Carter, how tall are those beams?
I can double check. I want to say roughly 5 feet.
5 feet?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll double check that though and give you.
Were they at about 120 foot long or?
150 or 155, I one of those.
But you sink the bottom portion of that?
No, they sit right on top of everything we've already poured, and then when they come and pour the deck, they will actually encase the ends as part of the deck pours.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, there's no more public input. With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned. We have a work.